Live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program, delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
And it's time to listen, laugh, and learn with the Data Doctors radio program.
Yeah, buddy, every week during the week, we help thousands of people in our stores. And on the weekends, we come in here and do more for thousands of people on the radio.
We are the Data Doctors. Brandon across from me, Ken to the left of me, and me, Spanky, here to provide education and entertainment. We like to call it edutainment.
It's finally arrived. What is it? It's the iPhone 4S and iOS 5.
Plus, your credit card, a gallon of milk, your antivirus software. What do they all have in common? They expire. We'll tell you about the latter of the three.
And they use it in my big fat Greek wedding, but is Windex really okay to use on your computers?
You. Data Doctors radio program.
It's finally here. iPhone 4, iOS 5, iCloud.
You haven't put it down since you got it, have you?
I can't stop touching it.
You're sleeping with it, aren't you?
Now, everybody in the media is talking about how the iPhone 4S is such a huge letdown, but the last I checked, it broke a record for the best-selling device that Apple's come out with.
But here's the point of reference. The previous record was when only AT&T was the carrier. They had like 600,000. They're saying they've added two more carriers and only got 1 million.
So well, they only added 1.5 more carriers because Sprint's
not really a full carrier.
Not there yet.
What do you mean it's not there yet?
Well, they're yellow guys, and they got a weird network. And
oh, we're back to the color-coded phone companies.
And their girl isn't nearly as, well,
yeah, as T-Mobile's.
Well, I mean, obviously, the handset's out. The iCloud is out, kind of. Still people having fun.
It's phenomenal. And let's not forget, guys, my favorite feature, Siri.
Dumb.
She's our personal assistant.
Yeah, I told you, you've had the thing in your hot little hands for what, half a day?
Yeah.
And I said, you're going to love it at first.
Yeah.
And that's where you're at right now.
Right.
And just like most things that have stages.
You keep saying.
Your hatred is coming.
All right. You keep saying it's not going to work. I'm going to prove you wrong. Siri, what's the best technology program on the radio today?
Well, it's the award-winning Data Doctors radio program.
Yeah.
If I may, though, the show is very good. But that guy Spanky, he's the best.
Of course.
Oh, and by the way, Brandon, why are you such a hater? You think I won't do my job? I am Siri and I am here to serve you. Well, not you, Brandon. Good luck trying to get directions from me. And when you want a good restaurant, well, I'll make sure you get the one that got shut down for cockroaches and food poisoning. How dare you? Remember, Brandon, Disney hell hath no fury like a virtual woman scorn. Peace out, sucker.
I think Siri works pretty good.
Oh, you're clapping in my ears and I'm bleeding. Oh. You guys, how much time did you spend putting this together?
2 minutes.
We just asked Siri, and she just went off.
She went on a rant.
She did go on a rant. So you might be careful with your requests there, Brian.
By the way, for you folks that didn't stand in line or didn't pre-order and aren't going to get the 4S, but you have yourself an iPod Touch, you have yourself an iPhone something,
an
not
iPad.
4S, an iPad, any of those other devices, if you haven't taken the time to take and load the upgraded OS on your machine. I know during the first couple of days it was a little bit rocky, but things are seem to be back to normal. Things are a little slow because everybody's sucking.
Are you saying
down.
The iCloud clouds are clearing?
Yeah, no, but the features, some of the things that they've done, a lot of it's very subtle. So it's not a huge like, oh my gosh, I got to get used to a bunch of new things. But there are some cool things. The 200 features, I don't see 200 of them. I see a couple.
Right.
But there are some things that it actually made my old devices peppier somehow, which is unusual for an OS upgrade.
So I was noticing that too. So I upgraded the OS on my old iPhone 3GS just because I wanted to see how it compares to the 4S. And man, it does. It's a lot more responsive suddenly. I do want to talk to everyone who, Mac or PC, if you're using an iOS device and you're upgrading to this, please pay attention. Do it in steps. Upgrade your computer first if you're doing an upgrade to your to your iCloud. Upgrade the computer first, then do
When you say computer, you're talking about iTunes?
Your Mac or PC, your iTunes, correct.
Well, you have to start, right? So that's number one. Number two thing that I figured out, there's a couple of weird messages that might pop up when you're trying to activate the iCloud, which is a cool new feature. If you have an Apple ID already, make sure, go log in. Go to appleid.apple.com and try to log in, because if your password doesn't meet the new password complexity requirements, it'll make you change that then, and it'll save you a bunch of trouble later. The other thing is, if you haven't verified your email address, it'll prompt you to do that. And when you do that on a regular computer, that process is a ton easier than if you try to go on the device, activate. It's not real clear about those things needing to be done.
Yeah.
So do that first. Save yourself some trouble. The final thing is, before you plug it in to do the upgrade, put it in airplane mode.
Yes.
There are tons of people that are halfway through the upgrade and they get a text message.
Boo-doo.
And it doesn't hurt anything, but you get to start all over again.
Right.
And this is supposedly the last upgrade we're going to have to do where we're tethered and plugged in, because after this, we can do it over the air in other ways. But for this, just put it in airplane mode. Wait till you have a couple of hours just in case some things go wrong so you're not screaming.
Five to six seems to be the consistent
standard. Well, for me,
standard.
On the devices I've done it on, it was less than half an hour. But, you know, I made sure I jumped through all those hoops first, and I
correct.
Made sure everything was ready to rock. And then it went really, really smooth.
Let me give you the experience. So a typical user is going to spend about an hour doing this if they do it in the right steps. One of the pitfalls you may find is your iOS device, your iPhone, your iPad, may look like it's doing nothing, but on the screen it says restoring. And a lot of people, that's where they were going, oh, I lost all my data. If you disconnect at that point, and because you think your phone or your iPad isn't doing anything, it doesn't show anything on the screen, that's where you've lost it, because it hasn't finished the restoration process. But the good news is the device is smart enough that when you reconnect the cable, it picks up right where it left off. So it's pretty smart.
Yeah, in some cases.
For most folks, it's...
Don't mess with it.
I've done a couple of devices, and it was pretty smooth. But again, follow those couple of simple steps. You'll save yourself a lot of heartache, a lot of time.
And I think we can say unequivocally, the majority of the problems that we saw was there was a lot of confusion with people when they try to activate the iCloud.
Yes.
Because of the Mobile Me connection, because a lot of people, especially the real tech, it was funny to watch all these tech writers all just freaking out as the thing rolled out. It was like, which Mobile Me account should I use? And what? They were just confused, and it was pretty funny. But take your time.
Yeah.
Listen, and you know what? This is going to be continuing. So just follow us on Facebook, and we'll.
We haven't even gotten to the features of this stuff yet.
It doesn't matter.
We'll get into that as the show progresses. We've got links to some of those tips that Apple's provided and some of the other folks. datadoctors.com/radio. Check those things out for sure.
Hey, you've upgraded your Facebook account, but now how do you add to your timeline? We've got answers.
Hey, plus HP is banking on you. We've got the dumbest idea come out for in years.
It is the Data Doctors radio program.
Banky, I've got a secret.
What?
It's probably the best kept secret in the computer business.
Okay, what?
It's your hard drive. It's holding you back.
What are you talking about? I got a huge hard drive.
Well, the hard drive in your computer is the slowest device, and if you speed it up, you'll speed everything up.
Hey, look, we were just talking about those hybrid hard drives, the biggest breakthrough that's come around for technology in your computer in years and years and years, and we've got an awesome offer for you right from Data Doctors.
Yeah, you can add a hybrid hard drive to your laptop or desktop for $159. And for a limited time, are you ready for this? We'll install it for free.
That's right. We're so excited about this breakthrough in hard drives that we want to make it affordable for everyone.
It's increased performance for a tiny little price.
Hey, wherever you are, if you can hear our voices, we can rock your world with this new technology.
Call 888-545-1988 or go to datadoctors.com and schedule an appointment today.
Tell them the guys on the radio sent you, and they'll install it for free.
This is the Data Doctors, radio program.
You know, just because TV programs suck, it doesn't mean you should have a meltdown.
What TV programs?
That's unless you have a Sony Bravia TV.
What?
There's a major recall going on. They're having meltdowns. Get the resources for the update. datadoctors.com/radio.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Would you like to have a TV that melts?
I'm thinking like nuclear powered TV is a bad idea. Is that what's going on there?
Apparently.
Chernobyl.
I don't know when the last time we heard about a television LCD recall, but that must be pretty major.
Yeah.
All right, so now the
That's hot.
iPhone 4S is out. And it's available on three different networks, right? It used to be your choices were AT&T, AT&T, and AT&T, the last time a new handset came out.
Now it's available on blue, red, and yellow.
So they've added Sprint to the lineup. And if you're out there and you're not under contract and you're thinking about going and getting one of these devices because you didn't wait in line and you know you're thinking
smart,
about, regardless of what network you're on, well, it's the same device, all three networks, so just pick the one with the best price or with the most coverage or with the, is it the same device?
The fastest.
Hang on. Now, from a price standpoint, Apple kind of controls that. It's going to be the same. So throw that out.
Yeah, no. I mean the price from a monthly standpoint, not the price of the device.
So there's obviously the data contract, right? Right now, Sprint is saying we're the only ones that are going to offer new subscribers the unlimited plan.
Right.
So unless you're already on an unlimited plan with one of the other providers, and if you are, then you can't switch, because if you do,
you lose it,
right?
Right.
Then you might want to look at Sprint. Now, the problem with Sprint is they're in a weird situation here.
Well, and there's, from a technical standpoint, Sprint and Verizon share something in common. They're both on a network that was invented long, long ago called a CDMA network. And CDMA stands for something awesome that I don't remember at the moment, but it is a network that does not allow something that AT&T allows. Actually, there's two things. One, on the AT&T network, and AT&T started doing commercials about this, you can be on the phone and on your data plan, on the internet connection at the same time, simultaneously and together.
Because we're all ADD and need to do multiple things at the same time.
Right, but there are a couple of times, especially, you know, you're wanting to meet up with some buddies, you want to go to see a movie.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You, rather than have to hang up, research, then call everybody back, and then somebody goes, oh, wait a minute, not that theater, let's go to this theater. You can put it on speaker and then go and browse and look for that and figure out what you're going to do and make a plan. And that's a real legitimate time when you'd use that kind of thing.
One of the few things you see in a commercial that actually is legitimately realistic, right? And what I find myself doing that, when I find that myself needing that the most, is when I'm traveling.
Right.
I'm in a foreign city, so I don't have access to Wi-Fi. So that's a big one.
Or Spanky calls me and says, hey, I just sent you an email. I want to talk about something really quick. Well, on the other network, I got to hang up, look at the email, read it, remember, and then call him back. Or with him, I just put it on speaker, flip over and look at that and go, okay, let's talk about this.
But okay, so let's get back to Sprint, though, because it's really important people understand what's going on behind the scenes at Sprint. So they kicked their 4G provider to the curb, Clearwire. They were using WiMAX and a bunch of other stuff that wasn't really, we've talked about it a bunch of times on the show. That's not 4G. It was faster, but they kind of kicked them to the curb and they said, we're going to build out our own 4G LTE network on our sparse little network.
Well, that's smart, though, because if they didn't, long-term, they were going to probably die.
Well, that, and they know that the iPhone, that they're betting big on now, they're bringing the iPhone in, which now is going to convolute their network, just like AT&T's. Remember what happened when all those people jumped on?
Sure.
So that's potentially going to happen. But there was a great article. GigaOm had an article. I got to read this quote. This is the best. So from here, Sprint's decision to build out their LTE network on its own sparse network while simultaneously betting big on the iPhone and unlimited data plan is kind of like somebody chewing off their leg to get out of a bear trap, then signing up for a marathon the next week. they're putting the biggest amount of pressure on themselves to succeed.
If I'm a customer, wouldn't I want to go to Sprint, though? They're offering me unlimited data. They're not going to restrict the bandwidth, meaning I can download as much as I can eat. Why is it bad for me, the consumer?
Well, we talked about not only can you not do the data and the talk at the same time, but there's another little thing that happens in a non-CDMA network or in a GSM network, which is what AT&T operates under, which is also, by the way, what most of the world operates under. And that is the ability to do something technically called bonding, which, suffice it to say, for you means your data speeds will be nearly double than the other networks without a 4G network in place.
So the only network that a 4S customer can get that new faster data speed is on AT&T.
The 3G network.
Right, there's some interesting comparisons that have been done. The speed of the network with those with that configuration. So it's called HSPA 14.4. Right? It's a newer, faster spec. The speed on that 3G network is faster than everyone else's 4G network except for Verizon's. So even though it's only 3G, it's quite a bit faster than most everybody else's 4G, quote-unquote, service, which is why this whole world is so confusing, why you shouldn't fall for the marketing hype. This is why the media was mostly disappointed in this release and that it was a 4S and not a 5 is because of the lack of 4G. And what they missed is that 4G doesn't mean anything. If we want to talk about real speed, a smart move was made here that lets everybody actually get their 4G networks mature into a real 4G place so that from a consumer standpoint, we'll have real choices and not this fake choice thing.
Which brings me to the point, and for everyone who's listening to this radio program in any city you listen to, when you have a question before you jump ship and make a purchase on a smartphone or a device and think that this network is the answer, that just go to our Facebook wall and ask us.
Or better yet, Spanky's cell phone number. Are you ready
there
for
you
it?
Go.
Oh, no. No. La, la, la.
One other big loser in all this? BlackBerry.
Who?
They've been picked again.
Are you talking about the outage that they had?
That's just the latest. Three-day outage worldwide. Not everything, but there was people.
Important. I mean, just email and messaging and things like that.
You're already like swinging low. So the bottom line here is if you're a BlackBerry user and your contract is up and you're looking around, read the tea leaves, folks. I mean, I hate to, kick a dog when it's down, but this dog don't look like it's going to hunt. So
maybe it's time to think about the droids or the whatever's of
antiquated
of the world.
Handsets, antiquated proprietary messaging system, an operating system that's a mess. Nobody supporting it. Other than that, they're doing great. Oh, and they lost 50% market share in 1 year.
Yeah, hold on a second. Yeah, put $50 on BlackBerry going down next week. I'm talking to my bookie in Vegas.
No, guys. You just need to short them.
Wow. I mean, they are boop, boop.
I don't know.
Boop.
Sorry to my friends in the Great White North, but your company ain't doing too good.
Hey, if you're looking for tips, tricks, information, you can get our new weekly newsletter. You subscribe at the same place you get all the links to all the things we talk about. It's datadoctors.com/radio.
Just ahead, working on an important document and suddenly your screen goes dead? We'll tell you what to do in this week's What Would Brandon Do?
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, are you trying to find the value of Facebook for your business? Well, there's a great infographic. You know, one of those informational graphic-y kind of things that'll help you understand the nuts and bolts of Facebook and your business and what it's doing for you. You can get the link, datadoctors.com/radio.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
All right, so for some reason this week, we had a lot of people asking us personally in stores and whatever, they had video problems. A very common thing that happens with a computer is you suddenly wake up one day and you have no video. And so they kept coming to us and saying, well, what do I do? So we thought this would be perfect for...
What would Brandon do?
The What Would Brandon Do segment. Somebody calls, somebody has a problem. They wake up one morning, their computer lights and everything are on.
How about the real world thing that a guy came to me the other day? Garrett, yes, this is you. And he had two monitors, and we had helped him set up the two monitors because, well, we're good like that. And, one of the monitors stopped working, and he was a smart guy. So he has actually an extra monitor in the house, and he's tried switching monitors and this one to this one, and it turns out the monitor works just fine. And he tried switching cables because why would you try that too? And he did the universal turn it off and turn it back on again. That didn't solve the problem. And so he lugged the whole thing down, and we took a quick look at it, and he said it's either going to be X or Y, right? And he had two different ideas, and I had a different idea, and it turned out it was just a simple setting where you go in and you tell it like screen resolution and where the monitors are located and that kind of stuff. And anyway,
but that was dual monitor, right? I'm talking
dual monitor.
That's a very unusual situation. A lot of people only have one monitor, so when that thing, obviously they're freaking out going, my computer crashed. I lost everything.
The first and best thing is we need to determine, is it the monitor or is it the computer? So if you have an extra monitor, do a quick swaparoo. If you have an extra computer, do a quick swaparoo.
And if you're like me and your monitor blacks out, it usually means the power cord needs to be plugged into your laptop.
Yeah. So make sure like whoever was vacuuming didn't unplug it to plug the vacuum cleaner in. On the back of the, people move their monitors and adjust them and tilt them. And my kids do this all the time because, they're shorter than me. And when they tilt it down, it tugs on the cord and it unplugs. And so sometimes plugging the power cable back in solves the problem magically. Oftentimes it's the dumbest non-technical thing that's the problem and not the super tech nerdy thing.
And then if you have a laptop and the screen is blank, you can actually plug an external monitor into it and hit that little set of keyboard switches that says push this out to an external monitor.
Yeah, it's like function F5 or F6 for a lot of different monitors depending on what you have.
Yeah, so if it comes up, then you know your backlighting on your monitor probably went out, or on the actual laptop itself. So the big thing is you've got to try these alternative displays before you go nuts and say, I'm just going to buy a new computer. And that's what Brandon would do.
And that's what people do.
And that's what I do.
Hey, folks, you've been able to use Facebook on the iPad for a while now, but finally, 1 year, 5 months, 10 days, 6 hours, and 22 seconds later...
How'd you get seconds on that?
I just faked it.
That's all. Yeah. You just made all that up.
The Facebook iPad app has arrived, and it works better than ever. If you can't figure out how to get the new Facebook app for your iPad, we've got the link at datadoctors.com/radio.
Well, I mean, that's what we're here for, right? We're here to help you. So every week we try to bring a real-world situation to the table.
We help people in our stores, and then on the weekends, we help you on the radio.
This is probably one of the most common things that everybody out there is confronted with. It's my antivirus program. It has expired, or it's coming up on renewal. What do I do?
Should I stay or should I go?
Yeah.
Where's that song?
Should I stay or should I go now?
I didn't want you to actually sing it or even hum it or
my bad.
At all make any sound like that.
So our advice is to assess your situation if you can before you just make a random decision.
And the easy decision is just hit the renew button, give it your credit card, and off you go, right?
Well, there's a couple of reasons why that may not be a good idea. One is your general behavior and who's using your computer may have changed in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
Another is you got an older machine. And when you say go ahead and update to the latest, you get this piano thrown on your back. And your computer becomes a slug because the latest version that you just said, I'll go ahead and pay for another year, is going to bog down that old machine because your machine is just not capable. Their assumption is that if you're using today's antivirus, that you have today's processing power.
Well, why would I pay? Why would I get all the free stuff?
Sure, there's free options, absolutely.
And why do I not want free options?
So a lot of the free options, there's a paid option by the same company, and all they are is it's free, and then it just bugs you to death until you finally give in and pay for the paid one.
Well, that's one of them. There's a number of reasons why a company that makes a free antivirus and makes a pay antivirus, if it was exactly the same, how does that work? I mean, it's just a fundamental question you should ask yourself.
Whoa, you mean these virus protection companies aren't benevolent businesses?
No.
They're not there to just do things nicely for people?
The Microsoft has their Security Essentials, which if you have a licensed legal copy that, you know, the validation test you can pass, then that's something you can have for free. And I always tell people it's great basic protection. For a guy like me that knows what to click on, or more importantly, what not to click on, and when I go to a site, if it asks me, do I want to make this yes or no choice that's in Geekanese, I know how to speak that so I can say yes or no, and I know what to say, right? It's great protection for me. But for my mom, for my kid's computer, for the computer my wife uses that I'm going to have to fix if she messes it up, no thank you.
Yeah, there are some fundamental differences in the sophistication and the ability to detect new stuff, right, that's out there. The other issue that you got to think about is if you have kids that are maybe weren't on the computer last year, but they're going to start getting on the computer, then you really need to be reassessing. So the bottom line is if you need to go hug your computer guy. Go talk to somebody that understands all of the variables. Have them examine all of these issues to help guide you to the proper choice, because there is not a one-size-fits-all here.
And my five-second rant, you Mac users like me, you're not immune to this either.
It's
Wake
coming.
Up.
You need to be protected.
Hey, the iPhone 4S, it has Siri, but what about you Android users? Well, there's an app for that.
And you've got the new Facebook timeline, but it's full of holes. So how do you fill in the blanks? We'll tell you next here on the Data Doctors radio program.
Look, computer problems are a fact of life. And when your computer is acting up, you need to know why.
Hey, that's why Data Doctors always starts with something called a PC physical.
Look, the doctor doesn't start by performing an operation. They do an exam to find out what the heck is wrong.
Quit treating the symptoms and get to the cause with Data Doctors' exclusive PC physical.
Hey, no matter what the problem is, it can be a desktop, it can be a laptop, Macs, Windows, we don't care. Data Doctors, we're the cure.
And we specialize in the really difficult laptop repairs like broken power jacks, cracked screens, and even the tragic
I spilled my coffee on my keyboard problem.
If it's broken, we can unbreak it.
And if you can hear this radio program, you can save 50% on a PC physical right now. Just tell them the boys on the radio sent you.
Call 888-545-1988 or go to datadoctors.com and click schedule a PC physical today.
888-545-1988. Data Doctors, save 50% on your PC physical and get it healthy again.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Who's taking your calls at 888-545-1988? These guys, that's who. Or you can ask your question online at Facebook. It's just facebook.com/datadoctors.
And if you're a big fan of Disney films, and who isn't?
I know I am.
Yeah, get ready for a series of new Disney films re-released in 3D.
Ugh.
Break out your crappy glasses and get the link at datadoctors.com/radio.
Tech knowledge for your technology.
Hey, one of our
Doctors radio program.
Oh,
see, we
said
we could make that fit, and then you stomped all over it.
Ugh, excuse me.
Totally wrecked that.
Oh my goodness.
We are broadcast professionals.
You bet we can't do it over.
Brandon and I, I'm saying.
Pardon me, but a professional gets paid. All right, so one of our Facebook friends, Julie, you know, she's got a bunch of pictures she wants to add to this new Facebook timeline thing. She's like, how the heck does this thing work?
Well, you know what I want to know is, how do I get to be called one of our Facebook friends? I guess we're easy. You just like us. That's it.
They like us. They really like us.
So she wants to figure out, she got the timeline thing happening on Facebook, and she clicked to go look and see what the world would see about her timeline. And, well, there's a lot of stuff missing because Facebook doesn't know about a lot of my past.
Yeah, I mean, there's you can resort and reemphasize things that are already there, or you can go in and correct things like when you were married. You were married when?
Well, I was actually married in the great year 2000.
In the year 2000.
But Facebook thought I was married like in 2008 because, well, when I joined Facebook, one of the early things I did once my wife was there is I married her. In Facebook terms, that means I clicked her and said, yes, we're married and she's my spouse. And as far as Facebook's concerned, that's the day we got married. Not really. That's the day we got married on Facebook. But we had been married for years before that. So you're in your timeline, you're looking through that, and you go, gosh, how do I fix this? And as Ken would like to say, this is where you, what's the hover term you had?
You need to be a lover of hover.
A hover lover. So when you hover over that event in your timeline, in the upper right-hand corner, there's like a little, well, I don't know, a little boxy-looking thing.
And by the way, guess who's doing this while we're doing the radio show?
Are you learning?
The guy who always does three things at once.
Yes.
Never good on any of them, but, you know, adequate on some.
Wow.
The hate.
Okay.
Anyway, so you hover, and it allows you to do some things like remove, like block, like edit, keyword edit. And when you click on the edit option, then it lets you go in and change the dates of some of these things and move them back in time. Or, you know, maybe there's something that happened that maybe you'd rather not remember because, yes, you were married then, but
you can hide it.
Yeah, I don't want the world to know about that guy or that girl or whatever it is.
What I'd recommend is everybody at the very top, you'll see status, photo, place. This is where you can actually, like, post an update or whatever. Just to the right of that, you'll see a bunch of little icons. You'll see a picture of, like, a briefcase. So that's, like, your work history. So you can, like, add things, you know, like when you started a job or when you started unemployment or whatever it is. The heart is your relationships, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I get it. Relationships.
The house is, like, did I buy a house? Did I move?
I just made my wife, my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law. I've given everyone assignments while
Everybody,
we're doing this.
See, isn't that nice? The other thing you can do, it's kind of cool, is if you click on the photos, you can do something that people didn't realize. Everybody knows you can tag photos, so other people that are in the photo with you, but you can go back in time and add places to the photos. And not just like city-state, but you can tell it to search around a city-state and then pick a specific venue. So you can go back and say, oh, gosh, where was this? Oh, and you can start tagging that. And this is one of those things that I think if you spend the time to do it, it's going to be more for you than for your friends.
Yes.
Years from now,
yes,
this is the book of your life. This is the thing that you can look back on and not just have, you used to have old pictures you'd write on the back of. This is that equivalent where you've got them all sorted nicely. You can jump to them.
And when your memory gets really bad.
Like Ken's?
Like mine's already starting to. I will tell you, it is spectacular.
We got to have Green Day cut a new song. We hope you had the timeline of your life. No good?
I think it sounds like you can do that song.
Transition, please.
You know how many people listen to it?
What?
Less than zero.
By the way, Facebook timeline tips. We got a whole bunch of them from Mashable. datadoctors.com/radio if you want to get that advice.
Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC.
It's time for this week's tip of the week, Mac versus PC. Not in the
"Ooh, you stink, you are bad."
No, it's the how to do it on this one and how to do the same on the other one.
A lot of bi-platformal listeners out there that have gone from Windows to Mac. So we'll start with things that you can do in Windows. So when you're on a web page and you want to zoom in or zoom out, you want to make the text bigger or whatever, you can hold the control key down and hit the plus and minus on the keyboard, or you can hold the control key down, and if you've got a wheel mouse, you spin that wheel.
And since the same exists in the Mac world, except for the little wheel, it's the exact same way.
I've got a wheel.
You can do it in the Mac world. Hit the control and then wheel up, and you'll zoom in.
Whee,
and if you control and zoom down, it works the exact same way. Both ways, Mac, PC.
Now I feel like the text is like Ken size.
Yes. If you have a Mac mouse that doesn't have a ball, a wheel, but it's got that, what's that special touch thing called that Apple uses?
I think they call it the special touch thing.
Yes, I think that's
it. It works the same way.
That glassy surface.
The glassy
thing?
Surface. I don't like that. But where you would normally have the wheel, the ball, whatever, it's right there. Control.
I bet you one of our listeners can correct us on what the touchy, wheely, feely place is. So if you can, Facebook.com/DataDoctors. Correct us, please.
And while you're there, you can ask a question like Ron did. Ron wanted to know about this big story last week. Facebook is tracking you after you log out of Facebook.
Of course they are.
Wait a second. Ron asked us this question on Facebook?
Yes.
Does he know that Facebook's tracking
Facebook
that?
Knows that he asked the question on Facebook.
Ron, I would run, hide, disable, shut down your Facebook account because they're watching you.
So let's roll back because there's a lot of misinformation about this out there. An Australian blogger posted a blog and said, "Hey, I've discovered that the Facebook cookies have user ID information in them after you log out." And he said, "This could be used to track your activities even after you logged out of Facebook." And very quickly, Facebook jumped in. Engineers explained the situation. The long and the short of it is it looks like it was a sloppy coding situation that, I suppose they could have been. They could have used it this way. There's absolutely no evidence to suggest that they did.
That's
no
just the reaction
gun.
I have.
And so shortly thereafter, we see class action lawsuits, and they harmed us, and we want to get paid for damages.
But what did Facebook do?
They changed it.
Aha!
They changed it when the Aussie blogger made them aware of it.
So the change is an admission of guilt.
Aha!
Well, from an attorney standpoint. All of those attorneys that jumped into this, they did it for publicity. They know darn well they're going to get nowhere.
Cha-ching.
This has been a million times that attorneys have jumped in and said, we're gonna sue these guys for tracking cookies. It ain't going to happen. So the bottom line is, you have to trust what Facebook is telling you, that they didn't do this. And if you don't trust them, then get rid of your Facebook profile.
Don't use the network if you don't want your information shared.
They already know more than your mother does about you.
Hey, guys, if you miss any of today's program, and why would you? Just subscribe to Data Doctors Radio Program on iTunes. You can hear every minute of it.
And if you miss anything we talk about, you get stuck with your technology.
I just
your hard drive starts clicking. Hey, you spill your morning coffee. If you like Spanky and you just screw everything up because you look at it, hey, one place to help, datadoctors.com. Find the Data Doctors location nearest you.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
I got you anyway, sucker.
Live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program, delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
Hey, and if you love to laugh while you're learning, you've come to the right place. It's the Data Doctors radio program.
Every week, we help thousands of people in our stores all across the country. And then on the weekends, we help thousands more right here on the radio.
We are the Data Doctors, Brandon, Spanky, and Ken. And we're here to provide education and entertainment. We like to call it
edutainment.
Yeah, this hour on the multi-award-winning program, Windex. It's good for Windows, the glass kind, but what about the computer kind?
Also, if you ever wish you could understand all those buttons on your digital camera, well, get close to your computer because you don't want to miss what's coming up.
And we've been talking about hybrid drives. This week, we'll tell you the benefits to the everyday Joe.
Data Doctors radio program.
Another question from our Facebook fans, which, by the way, Data Doctors Facebook pages, figure it out, facebook.com/datadoctors.
It's a no-brainer.
Somebody asked, "Hey, is it okay to use Windex on my screens, on my laptop, on my LCDs?"
The answer is no.
But I run Windows.
The answer is no.
But it's cleaning Windows.
Isn't Windex?
Windex.
Isn't that for Windows?
I'm going to tell you a little secret. Have you ever been in somebody's car and you look at their tinted windows and they're purple?
Yes.
Do you think they started out being purple when they first tinted them because somebody thought, oh, that's going to look awesome?
It's from the ultraviolet radiation.
No, it's a reaction to the ammonia that Windex has when it combines with the UV and it actually stains
the window tint. Brandon Disney, can you tell us how you know this fact?
Years and years and years and years ago, I actually was a car stereo installer, which back then meant you installed car stereos and you tinted windows.
See, this is a factoid. I knew that you did not.
And, Windex, specifically ammonia, horrible for tint. Now, what does it have to do with computers, you axe?
Well, since most computers have a plastic surface on their screen.
They do, in fact, have a plastic surface. Guess what ammonia does to those same plastic surfaces?
Makes them purple.
Lights coming from behind. Well, it doesn't just...
Oh.
It trust me when I tell you, it's horrible, horrible,
scratchy,
horrible.
Scratchy.
Not just for your computer screen, because that TV you now watch, whether it's a DLP, a plasma, an LCD, it has that same plastic covering on it. And I know some of them are glass. Trust me, there's still a plastic covering on the outside of that glass, too. There's a laminate that's there. That stuff is horrible. Don't use it for that. Use it on Windows. Not
on
the computer
kind. So we actually have, in conjunction with a special 3M chemical compound that's actually made specifically for these types of screens, we have a product in our stores called Screen Clean. So if you can't find something that's specifically made for cleaning your laptop screens and your big screens, go visit a Data Doctor's location, ask for Screen Clean. They even have a really cool little travel pack for like laptop users. Throw it in your travel bag. It's like $8.95. It's got the cloth. And here's the other tip. Don't spray anything, even this stuff that we have, the Screen Clean, don't spray it directly on the screen and then wipe it off.
Always spray
the cloth, then wipe off the surface.
And the kind of cloth is important, too. You want to make sure it's a microfiber cloth, something that doesn't have fuzz and lint, because stuff, A, it gets left behind. B, it scratches. It's a bad idea. If you're going to do the travel tip Ken mentioned and you travel and you fly, make sure you pull that out when you go through security and put it in with all the other, like,
toiletry things. No, the travel one is small enough. It passes less than 4 ounces.
But you have to pull it out and put it with
you. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Otherwise, they stop you and it's a whole hassle.
Trust me,
I know firsthand.
Oh, boy. Every week we try to bring you a little aperitif from the vernacular of tech.
From the world of geekdom.
Everybody, pull out your cell phones right now. This is
not you, not you. You get distracted.
Mine's been out since the beginning of the program.
Yeah.
Smartphone geek speak. M-commerce.
Ooh, M.
Yeah, you've heard of e-commerce, right? Electronic commerce. Well, the...
Are you sure it's not pronounced m-commerce?
Commerce.
I think Quiznos would say it was
commerce.
And pretty soon you'll be able to take your phone to Quiznos and buy that sandwich just by waving your phone over with NFC and some of the other things that are out there. The biggest race in technology right now is to come up with the platform that will become the standard for making purchases with your mobile device.
I thought we already had that.
No. How?
I don't know. We've been talking about NFC.
That's one of 15 different contenders. In this corner, we have Google.
But don't those people, and I'm putting that in big air quotes, don't those people somewhere overseas over there, don't they already have some payment system they're using? Why wouldn't we just adopt theirs?
Because that's not how it works.
Yeah, but...
Because we don't operate in
our mobile devices don't even look like their mobile devices.
We see what happens when we decide to create our own standard that's not the world standard, a.k.a. the cell phone networks, and then eventually we end up having to adopt the world standard because, well...
Hey, listen.
We're in the world.
Do we use the metric system in the United States?
We should.
No.
Oh, we should.
Why? Because we are the United States of America, and we will come up with our own M-commerce standards.
Do you know how much easier it would be to divide by 10 than by 12?
You, sir, don't understand. You must not be an American.
I drink
my beverages by the liter.
You know, though, Burger King would be in trouble.
And why is that?
Is it Burger King or is it McDonald's? I don't go to those places. Oh, the Quarter Pounder would be the Royale, right, with cheese.
Yes, that's true.
It's McDonald's that I screwed up there. Yeah, whatever.
You've got your...
Anyway, M-Commerce, Geek Speak of the Week. Watch for it. It's coming to a smartphone near you.
And by the way, you can connect with us anytime online. If you have a question you need answered, you post it to our wall at facebook.com/datadoctors, or you call just like Thomas did, 888-545-1988. That's the number Thomas dialed.
We're going to be buying a new computer. and it looks like it's going to be a Dell because that's what our older ones are, work computers are. Seems reasonable to stick with something we know.
Go with what you
trouble
know.
Is, they're only selling 64-bit computers now, and all our software, peripherals, that sort of thing, are all 32-bit now. I asked Dell if there's going to be a problem, and we're going to have to buy everything new just for this computer, and they said, no, it's Windows 7, 64-bit, and 64-bit computers are all backward compatible. There shouldn't be any problem with anything, and I want to know if this is true or not. Do we buy that, or do I have to look for a different company that maybe it'll sell me a 32-bit system?
Hmm. Dell is going to tell you, so, of course.
It's a salesperson, not just Dell.
Yeah.
Everything works fine.
Everything's great. No, it'll work forever.
The reality is there's a lot more to it than that, and we're running up on a break here. Tell you what, Thomas. We're
going
to help answer your question on the other side of the break here, so you stick around, and you listening, you stick around too, because this is an important thing that you need to know if you're out looking for a new PC now or this holiday season, whatever.
Plus, answering Thomas's question, still to come, you click send. It's delivered, but is it?
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Psst, Spanky, I've got a secret.
What?
It's probably the best kept secret in the computer business.
Okay, what?
It's your hard drive. It's holding you back.
What are you talking about? I got a huge hard drive.
Well, the hard drive in your computer is the slowest device, and if you speed it up, you'll speed everything up.
Hey, look, we were just talking about those hybrid hard drives, the biggest breakthrough that's come around for technology in your computer in years and years and years, and we've got an awesome offer for you right from Data Doctors.
Yeah, you can add a hybrid hard drive to your laptop or desktop for $159. And for a limited time, are you ready for this? We'll install it for free.
That's right. We're so excited about this breakthrough in hard drives that we want to make it affordable for everyone.
It's increased performance for a tiny little price.
Hey, wherever you are, if you can hear our voices, we can rock your world with this new technology.
Call 888-545-1988 or go to datadoctors.com and schedule an appointment today.
Tell them the guys on the radio sent you and they'll install it for free.
This is the Data Doctors, Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, if you like email and you just can't get enough of our super awesome, mystical, fantastical tips, tricks, you know, the stuff we do right here on the radio program, you want them in your inbox? It's really simple. You subscribe to our weekly newsletter. Just hop on over to datadoctors.com/radio, look for the newsletter box, type in your address. You know the rest.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
And just before the break, Thomas had a question for us about 32-bit versus 64-bit. Computers.
Winders.
And he's talking about sticking with a Dell because that's what he knows, but everything is not backwards compatible, and he's worried that he needs to buy all new stuff.
Well, so a couple of things pop up here, and sorry we didn't have enough time before the break, Thomas, and hope you hung on to listen through on the backside here. But it is true that most every new computer being shipped today from most every manufacturer is something that's running a 64-bit OS. And most the things you do, not all, like the sales guy told you, most of the things you do, they're going to be backwards compatible. It's going to work out. It's going to be just fine.
Here,
but the caveat is not all. Some of the software you use, some of the specific sort of legacy software may or may not work in that world. Your printers, your scanners, that kind of stuff, if it's older things, may or may not work in that world.
Here's the list. You ready for the list?
Go ahead. Fire away.
32-bit antivirus programs will not work. So if you plan on using your old antivirus on the new machine, nope, going to have to buy over. Device drivers, things like he was talking about, legacy devices, printer scanners. If the only device drivers available are 32-bit, those devices will not be recognized, will not work in the 64-bit operating system.
So there's a couple of things you can do. And first, we've talked about for years about the idea that what you buy is not nearly as important as who you buy it from. And here you're talking to a salesperson whose job it is to sell computers. And so they quickly squashed your concerns with, no, everything's going to be perfect because they want to make a sale.
Right.
And they don't care about what happens after that because if there's a problem, that person doesn't deal with it. Somebody in tech support deals with it. And unfortunately, you deal with it.
And he gets his commission.
So you might want to get with somebody that's got a little bit more techno expertise that will understand, well, what do you use? Because I'm guessing the sales guy didn't ask you, well, tell me about the software you have. And there's actually some tools that can be run to help you understand about the software you use and some of the pitfalls. By the way, if you're hooked up with somebody who knows what they're doing, they'll make sure to sell you either the professional version or the ultimate version of Windows 7 that has something called XP mode that if there is an issue with one of the pieces of software you have, this will help you overcome that issue. Now, some of the hardware stuff, it won't. So it's good to know at least going into it that, yes, I'm going to have to get a new printer, but I'm prepared for that.
Right.
So there's a lot of things to look at, not just the software. There's the hardware as well.
So here's the thing that I'd tell Thomas to do. Make a list of everything that's on your old computer that you want to be working on your new computer.
And we can help you figure out the answer to this. Click Start, then go to Programs, and look down that list and say, what do I actually use all the time?
Right. Well, that's the software. And then look at what printer do I have, what scanner do I have, what digital camera, any of those things, right? Take that into wherever you plan on buying your computer, or send that to Dell's sales guy and say, I want in writing that you're saying that this is going to work or not going to work, whatever, which we know is not going to happen.
Never.
Here's another tip for all of you out there that buy computers. The first question you should ask anybody that's about to sell you a computer is, do I call you if I have a problem with this product you just sold me?
This is one we love.
If they say no, you call someone else. Buyer beware.
You know, Ken, I'm amazed. I go around to stores we have all over the country. I was in Florida a couple of weeks ago. You know, I was on the program from there. I was in Minneapolis. And people come into our stores and have no idea that we sell computers. And when they find out, they're amazed because they can ask these kinds of questions. We'll sit down. We'll take their old one. We'll look at it with them. We don't charge anything extra for that. We want to understand how you use it. You need somebody that takes the kind of time who wants you to be a customer for life, not for a quick sale today.
Well, and unlike Dell, we'll actually take your old stuff and actually make it work on the new computer, as opposed to telling you you can do it and then blame you when it doesn't work.
You know why half the reason our guys do that?
Why?
Because what you just mentioned. If it doesn't work the way they said it would, they're the same people that have to deal with the frustrated customers.
Right.
So they want to make sure to take care of them from the get-go.
It turns out we're one of the unique critters out there in the computer world because we actually service what we sell instead of having one department that sells you something and then somebody in another world tries to help you with it.
That's my friend.
And to you, listening to this program, wherever you are right now, if you can hear our voice, you just have to know the value of what you just heard Brandon say, because Brandon, he's my tech support guy. When I have questions...
Trust me, I'm his tech support guy.
God, I call him all the time. but the value of that tech support, and that's something that is so important, because after the sale... there's always issues. Even me, Mr. Mac guy, I will run into stuff and I'll go, hey, Brandon, I got a problem.
Well, how many times have you made a purchase of anything and said, you know, if I'd have known that, I'd have paid the extra money so that I'd gotten that stuff that I didn't know I didn't need?
Absolutely.
So anyway, bottom line is, do your homework and don't.
I would find somebody that helps you do the homework, Thomas. But in the meantime, there's a simple tool that will help get you started if you're going to have to do the homework on your own. And like I said, I'd get partnered up with somebody that'll help you. Microsoft actually has a little utility.
Yeah, we'll put a link on there.
That'll run, yeah. and it helps determine some of the things. It's not perfect, but it's a good start.
Hey, speaking of tech support, when we have camera tech support questions, who do we run to?
Spankenstein.
The Spankin' me Wiener.
Captain Photog.
Spankin' Wiener?
Did I just say Wiener?
I don't know.
Spankin' Wiener?
Oh, no. You
the show's going downhill fast.
All right. So,
hey, if you've been using a point-and-shoot camera and you want to make the jump to SLR or just better understand the options you have on that point-and-shoot, go to your computer right now, right while I'm talking.
I'm already in front of it.
I'm going to wait. No, everybody else listening.
What's an SLR?
Single-lens reflex.
What's that mean to me in English?
Sure. That's one of the black cameras that you can change lenses on.
We have a break coming up. So
okay. Go to camerasim.com. CameraSim.com.
Is this one of those Sims games?
It is phenomenal. You can, right there, practice online all the settings. You can make all the adjustments and see how it affects a photo right there on the website.
Generic ones are for my camera?
No. It's a
simulated picture. You can change the shutter speed, the aperture, all that, and then take the picture, and it'll show you what the picture would have looked like in those settings. So it's a way for you to practice
using
these.
Can't you just do this with your regular camera?
Yeah, but then you mess up pictures and you have to hit delete, which is digital film.
Last I checked, we don't go buy film and you don't have to print it.
Brandon, go to camerasim.com now.
You have to experience it.
Go to camerasim.com right now. Listen, if you're listening to this program and you can hear my voice like Brandon can right across from me, go to camerasim.com. Brandon, this is pretty radical.
I'll check it out. Not right now. I've got a radio program to do, sir.
It's almost as cool as Jaxta was last week when we talked about
that
it.
That was cool.
Hey, the economy is making people make wise decisions. So if you're out there getting an iPad, rather than paying $100 for a cover for it, we got a link. You can do it yourself.
I used to make my own book covers out of like paper bags.
My son Carter, he makes duct tape things, and he can make me a duct tape cover.
Hey, on the other side of the break, hybrid hard drives. We've been talking about them for a couple of weeks. So what can they do for you? We're going to tell you. Stick around for that.
Will they speed up my video editing?
Your what?
Yes and no.
Your finger?
My video
your
editing.
Your finger on your finger.
He keeps going on and on about this video editing.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, are you an aspiring filmmaker? Ever want to make one of those cool stop-motion animations? Well, Kyle Roberts will show you how. We've got a link on how he does it and how you can do it, too. DataDoctors.com.
Technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
/ radio.
Yeah.
One question. Who's Kyle Roberts?
That's the guy who does this cool stop-motion animation.
Okay, go. And a bunch of other. He's famous.
Ah. More exactly. Famous than Spanky?
Exactly. Hey, so Justin heard us talking about hybrid hard drives on the program last week. And he asked us a question on Facebook that I
think he assumed that this is only for high-end, like really, you know, people that are really into like gaming or into
right.
high-end stuff. And he wanted to know, what's it do for the average Joe?
Oh, my. Okay. First, we should post the link to that video thing again because that's going to answer half that question. First of all, booting up the computer. How would you like it to start up in less than half the time it starts right now?
I would love that.
So that's the first thing it'll do regardless if you're a gamer or not. Second, any of you check email? Show of hands?
Yeah.
No.
Any of you open a web browser and get on Facebook?
Mm. Yes.
Justin, we know the answer is yes because you asked us on Facebook.
Yeah.
Do you use Excel, Word, PowerPoint, you know, any of those kind of productivity apps?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Photoshop.
All those things, the things that you use the most. And what's cool about this is you don't have to tell it, well, I use this, and there's no settings to adjust. You just do what you do, and it learns from what you do, and it figures out the stuff that you do most is X, Y, and Z. So I'm going to take that stuff, and I'm going to stick that over in this sort of solid state portion, and that stuff becomes super fast, lightning quick stuff.
You know what else becomes really fast that most people don't even think about is the shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because Windows has to do a bunch of housekeeping whenever you say, okay, I'm done, shut the thing down.
Not just Windows we're talking about, by the way. This same rules
same apply,
rule
apply for Mac.
Right. Same thing. So that's another reason why people should, when you're in a hurry and you want it, whatever, and you say, just shut the machine off. That's how you end up with all this extra garbage and junk. So that's just a second tip.
We can make the Mac boot in half the time. We can make the Mac load its mail and all of its stuff. All of it applies. Trust me, it's amazing what it does.
Our aspirating filmmaker.
Aspirating?
Yes. Spanky.
Yes.
Created a very nice video that actually shows you split screen, four different screens that show you four different kinds of hard drives all doing the same thing. So you can literally see the speed difference. It is gargantuan.
And I would argue that for average Joe casual user, that the differences are going to be more noticeable than for super gamer or super filmmaker or super whatever geeky certain thing you are. So Justin, to answer your question, casual user, yeah, you're going to see probably the biggest benefit because the things you do, almost all of those things can be easily offloaded into that solid state portion.
And remember, this is a laptop hard drive, but you can use it as a desktop hard drive. That's what I did in mine because it was such a difference.
We convert desktop machines, laptop machines, Apple, Windows. We don't care. It's very easy.
Just remember, anybody out there, the next time you're in a situation where you have to get another hard drive, or if you're in a position where you're going, do I buy a new computer or do I put some money into this one? This could be the thing that makes it so much less less expensive, right?
To me, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah. I mean, if you need a new hard drive, ask your provider, ask vendor, or go to a Data Doctors location. We're actually doing a free thing we're doing a promotion this month. We'll install it for free. That's how much we love these things.
We don't give you the drive for free. You got to buy that.
Yeah, right.
You buy it, we'll install it for free.
Right. Easy.
All right.
Word of warning to you Android users.
Which one of us is an Android user?
Not in this room, but the people listening. The majority of the world is on Android.
And you know what? To be fair, I like the Android devices.
They're very nice, but there is a Facebook Netflix app. Facebook. There is a Netflix app circulating that has malicious code.
Well,
and it's stealing.
Let's make this easier. It looks like a Netflix app.
Right.
It's not a Netflix app.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you
it's doing bad things.
You Android folks, because you're now the largest and you're on this open platform, you're the biggest target for malware creators, so just beware.
Yeah, so only download from trusted locations. We've got a link to the story at datadoctors.com/radio. I'm stuck on Facebook.
Get over yourself.
I keep, because I'm looking at something on Facebook.
You know what Hewlett-Packard's stuck on?
What's that?
One of the stupidest ideas that I think I've heard in I don't know how long. I mean, I get, okay, Hewlett Packard, obviously printers, printer cartridges, ink, that's a big part of their revenue stream.
Because they're getting rid of computers.
Well, no, they're not. Meg Ryan's running HP now. Did you know that?
Where is this show gone? We hit the second hour. We're done.
The former CEO of eBay, who is now heading up HP, has said, well, maybe we're not getting rid of the PC business. Regardless, they're doing a deal with Condé Nast magazine, the magazine publisher. People call it Condé Nasty or whatever. Yeah.
And?
Kinda Nasty.
They have this new thing where instead of you buying the magazine or instead of you using these newfangled tablets or your iPhone or your computer screen to read this magazine. Yeah,
because no one wants to read their magazine on a screen.
Right. You can actually subscribe to Condé Nast and it'll print out on your printer directly.
Whoa.
How green of them.
I subscribe to a magazine and then my printer does the printing for them?
Well, yeah. I mean, that way Condé Nast doesn't have to actually take the burden of the expense of printing.
I wonder if they're really smart, they'll make it so that it only works with HP printers and only with genuine HP ink because,
okay.
Well,
HP has got to be changing the name of their company to reflect this new strategy.
Yes, it's called home printing.
No, higher profits. Hello, paper.
How about hellaciously proprietary?
Who prints anymore? How about this one?
How about...
Yeah. This is such a stupid idea.
We're missing something, obviously. We've got a link to this story. You decide whether it's important to you or not. HP, Hunt and Peck.
Yeah, I don't know. As I'm thinking about this, the last time I printed a piece of content, I can't tell you the last time I printed anything.
Well, they're trying to push the fact that they have web-enabled...
Guys,
printers, right?
Aren't we supposed to be being green and responsible and thinking about our children and the future? And
HP wants you to use as much ink as possible, sir.
Okay.
Dumb.
You know what? Our listeners are more creative than we are. What's HP stand for to you? Tell us on our Facebook page.
Hey, still ahead, it's the turnaround heard all around the internet. We're talking about Netflix.
And why not staying up to date can get you behind the eight ball.
It's coming up here on the Data Doctors radio program.
Look, computer problems are a fact of life. And when your computer is acting up, you need to know why.
Hey, that's why Data Doctors always starts with something called a PC physical.
Look, the doctor doesn't start by performing an operation. They do an exam to find out what the heck is wrong.
Quit treating the symptoms and get to the cause with Data Doctors' exclusive PC physical.
Hey, no matter what the problem is, it can be a desktop, it can be a laptop, Macs, Windows, we don't care. Data Doctors, we're the cure.
And we specialize in the really difficult laptop repairs like broken power jacks, cracked screens, and even the tragic, I spilled my coffee on my keyboard problem.
If it's broken, we can unbreak it.
And if you can hear this radio program, you can save 50% on a PC physical right now. Just tell them the boys on the radio sent you.
Call 888-545-1988 or go to datadoctors.com and click schedule a PC physical today.
888-545-1988. Data Doctors. Save 50% on your PC physical and get it healthy again.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Troops! About face! Reverse march!
Reverse march, not forward.
I don't think there's a reverse march.
No, there is a reverse march. In case you haven't heard Netflix, they were just kidding. No split, no price increase, no kidding. They just want you back before they can't afford to keep the lights on. Find out what happened. Datadoctors.com/radio.
Tech knowledge for your technology.
That's a do-over for the ages. Isn't it not?
It is.
Isn't it not?
We're going to undo what we said we were going to do.
But isn't it only until like June or July?
Well, that's...
Then they'll do it.
Hey, if you've got a question for the program, you can always call us toll-free, 888-545-1988, or you can always post your question on our Facebook wall, facebook.com/datadoctors, like Tina did.
And Tina's got a problem. She's getting a lot of emails saying that they've not been delivered.
Wait a minute. She's getting emails saying email's not getting delivered.
Correct. She gets a response back.
Like a bounce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And says, but here's the thing. She said, I didn't send these emails. I don't recognize any of the addresses. What does it mean? Is my computer infected? That's what she wants to know.
Yeah. So, Tina, we've talked about spoofing and spoofed emails before. And what you're seeing is bounce backs from, well, what appears to be you, but not really you. Something... Not someone, probably, but something sending with a return address that looks like it's from you. And so when it doesn't get through because it's just randomly trying a bunch of email addresses at random places like Hotmail and MSN and whatever, you get all the reject things because that's just some of the fun. It's called backscatter.
And the good news is when you get that kind of bounce, that's generally an indication that you're not infected. Because if you were infected, they wouldn't use your actual valid email address
Mm-mm.
to send, because then you'll go, oh, there's something going on, and you try to fix it. So the spoofing throws everybody off the track of where the stuff's really coming from, right? So that's why they do this. So in your case, it's actually good news that you're seeing this stuff. Unfortunately, there's not much you can do about it other than understand what it is and just delete it as it comes in.
Or disconnect your Wi-Fi, disconnect your Ethernet, and stay off the computer. That fixes it all.
So Ken's message, Tina, good news. All that junk mail, all you have to do is hit delete.
Exactly.
Because you're probably not infected, most likely. Sort of.
Yeah. Hey, all those Android fans out there
yes.
are sick and tired of hearing you talk about Siri.
Why? It's a great thing.
Because they're going... Hey, it's Mac fanboy, Apple fanboy.
Yes.
The Android has had voice recognition forever.
Yeah, but it's not
It's embedded in the operating system.
Tell you what, we'll see how you feel about this in a week or so, because like I predicted, you were going to love it
but
day
you know
one.
What? But you know what, though?
Day three come.
The Android fans, what they don't have
yes.
is what Siri can do, even though Android's always had this.
She could put me in my place.
Yes, she did.
Well, the whole text thing. So if you're an Android user, you like to text while you're driving, even though we can tell you not to, there's an app for that.
And what is that
basically
app called?
It's the Siri for Android users. It's called Sonalight, and it allows you to dictate and listen to text messages without ever touching the phone, without ever looking at it.
So it's text by voice, so it's not text. It's like
vexed.
Talking,
it's
vexed. But without yes. talking.
If you'd like to be vexed while you're driving, check out Sonalight.
Why wouldn't you just call somebody then?
What do you mean?
Because I mean, if you're going to talk into the thing, it's going to send it, and then it's going to send it back, and it's going to talk to you. Why wouldn't you just talk to them?
Because the person on the other end don't want to talk to you right now.
And sometimes I like to text because I look at the clock, and I go, wow, it's really late.
Remember, texters aren't having one conversation at a time, Mr. Brandon Disney, old school guy.
Yeah, we multi-text. I text I'm in five conversations at the same time.
Hey, guys.
You text Slice.
Hey, guys.
I text Slice,
exactly. You guys don't have an Android platform phone, so don't worry about it.
Okay.
It's not for you.
True that.
So, on this show, we have told you, I don't know, for 15 years, that updating your operating system, your antivirus, whatever, anytime there's a security update, program update,
right.
It's a really good idea for you to do that. And we told you in the past that the Adobe products, Flash and those kinds of
things,
the most targeted.
We've been telling you this for years. Turns out we're pretty smart guys.
We have a study. We have actual data. It turns out that virtually all malicious attacks...
Well, that's overstating, Ken. It's only 99.8%.
Yes.
That's not virtually all. 99.9% would have been virtually all.
Well, but this is of the commercial. So we got to kind of split hairs here. The commercial exploit kit. So in other words, what that means is people have created these kits that will allow anybody to go and start creating malware to try to take advantage of people.
So basically, you walk into the store, you pick, I want to create this malware. You buy it. And now you can write the code.
Except for you don't buy it if you're a real hacker. You steal it.
Well, yeah, but I'm making it simplified.
So the vast majority of those focused attempts go after five programs. So it turns out if you keep these five programs updated, so whenever you get the little message from your computer saying, hey, there's an update, and you go, nah, you're actually putting yourself in a position to be taken advantage of.
Here's the five. Java, and they say Java JRE, but for the rest of you folks, it's just Java.
Java.
Right? Adobe Reader. That's the PDF reader thing that you like, right? Mm-hmm. Acrobat, which is its cousin, we'll say. Adobe Flash. You notice a pattern there. And Windows and Internet Explorer.
And I want to jump in on the Adobe Flash thing for a minute, because a lot of my friends who are Mac users like I am have this this kind of misnomer that, I don't care if it's Flash. I'm on the Mac. I'm good. No, that code, that Flash code, is working against you too on the Mac.
Yes.
And on your Android.
Right. It doesn't matter that just because you're in the Mac world, you're protected, you're not protected.
Yeah, the bad guys know that they're going to go after everything people use that are very common. Flash is very common. It goes across all of the platforms, right? So of course they're going to go after it to try to exploit you. They're trying to come after you. They're trying to take advantage of your computer, sneak something in. They can do that. It's not just Windows anymore.
This is a business, guys. They want to infect as many people as possible to maximize their revenue. That's it. It's plain and simple. And so the things that are popular that are used, and that's why Adobe Reader, PDFs are ubiquitous. I know, don't hurt yourself. Internet Explorer, we know it's because it's what comes on the most popular operating system on the planet. It's out there. They're going to hit you. These are the five. That's why.
Next week, we need to start a segment, SAT words that Brandon uses.
You know how to spell ubiquitous?
Ubiquitous. Thank you. Yeah, it's, you know, Adobe Reader, that one really surprised me because you don't even think about PDF docs and how much...
They're being exploited and gone after like crazy. Because like Brandon was saying, it doesn't matter. You could be on your smartphone and they can take advantage of some of these holes. So
I think my TV can read a PDF. I mean, everything does PDF.
Imagine that.
Hey, there's lots of stuff we didn't get to today. But have no fear. We've got links to everything we talked about and more at datadoctors.com/radio.
And if you missed any part of today's program, you'd like to hear our voices, especially mine, you just subscribe to our Data Doctors radio program right on iTunes. You just search for Data Doctors, hit the subscribe, and boom, it's your podcast for you.
And don't forget, when you get stuck with your technology, that's what we're all about, Data Doctors. We've got stores throughout the country. Just click datadoctors.com, type in your zip code, and we'll find the location nearest you to give you a hand.
It's the Data Doctors. Brandon across from me, Ken to the left of me, and me, Spanky. It's time to reboot. We'll catch you all next week.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.